this is KOIN in Portland. Stay tuned for CBS local news and the CBS Radio Theater.
Press reports that former President Nixon will undergo surgery Tuesday morning. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The AP reports that Mr. Nixon's physician, Dr. John Lundgren, made the announcement at Long Beach Memorial Hospital Monday night. Lundgren saying that surgery was necessary to stop a worsening blood clot condition in Mr. Nixon. More news coming up.
Time magazine, what's in it for you this week? Cover story, a look at Iran and His Imperial Majesty Mohammad Reza Pahlavi.
Light of the Aryans,
King of Kings.
Imperial security blanket for an empire of paradoxes.
The Shah of Iran,
respected, resolute, and visionary monarch sitting firmly on 1/10 of the Earth's proven oil reserve.
Determined to transform his country into a superpower.
Equally determined that every school child should have a free glass of milk every day.
Time study includes an exclusive interview with the Shah on subjects ranging from Middle East oil prices to Western work ethics.
And a glimpse into the life of Farah, the working empress.
Also in Time this week, a special report on breast cancer that answers the questions and offers directions for self-examination.
In politics, as we come down the stretch toward election day, Time reviews the key contests across the nation.
And in behavior, the hidden side of inflation.
It's liberating the suburbs, says one sociologist. Keeping up with the Joneses is gone.
It's all there in Time.
Pick up a copy.
For Time makes everything more interesting.
Including you.
A final session of the Arab Summit Conference is scheduled for Tuesday morning in Rabat. A major decision reportedly was made Monday, and Bill McLaughlin tells us about it.
The Palestinian guerrillas seem to have won a political victory at this Arab Summit. According to reliable sources here, King Hussein has been defeated by Yasser Arafat, and he has had to agree that the Palestine Liberation Organization is the sole representative of the Palestinian people. He has also had to agree that if the West Bank of the Jordan becomes free from Israeli occupation, then that too would belong to the Palestine Liberation Organization. The question is, what does this mean for peace in the Middle East? First, it could mean that King Hussein will not take part in any more peace talks. The Israelis would also refuse to negotiate because they have repeatedly said they would never negotiate with the guerrilla leadership. This would be a severe blow for Egypt's President Sadat because his hands would be tied. He also would not be able to negotiate separately any further Israeli withdrawal from the Sinai. So, in the immediate future at least, this Palestinian victory could kill the hopes of peace and vastly increase the chances of war. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News at the Arab Summit in Rabat.
Saudi Arabia reportedly plans to announce a price reduction of about 10% in its oil. The New York Times quotes what it calls an informed Arab source in Rabat as saying the price will be frozen at the new level for a year. According to the source, other oil-producing countries are expected to announce similar price reductions. Car manufacturers have one less expense tonight, and car drivers one less complaint. Phil Jones reports from the White House.
For all those motorists upset by the federal law requiring the so-called seatbelt interlock systems, there's good news from the White House. President Ford has signed into law a bill eliminating the system which interlocked the ignition system with seatbelts. It had been federal law requiring that all new cars have the interlocked equipment, and it was illegal for garage mechanics to disconnect the system. In signing the bill discontinuing the interlock law, President Ford said he understood the objective, which had been to encourage motorists to wear their seat belts. But, said the president, I can fully understand why drivers object to being forced by the federal government to buckle up. This, said the president, constitutes an unacceptable governmental intrusion into the life of the individual. And the president took the occasion to push one of his safety and energy conservation programs. He urged motorists to not exceed the 55-mile-an-hour speed limits. Phil Jones, CBS News at the White House.
More coming up.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name, the kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice, and he has his own money invested in the business. So believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So True Value hardware stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value hardware stores.
A group of House Democrats says that President Ford's criticism of congressional spending fails to note his own voting record when he was a congressman. A report issued by a Democratic study group says that 82 bills passed in the last 4 years were above administration budget requests. The report says that of the 55 bills where a roll call vote was taken, Mr. Ford voted for 42 of those bills. Boston students are scheduled to return to classes Tuesday as the seventh week of court-ordered busing continues in some schools. Several hundred state and city police will be on hand in school buildings to guard against possible anti-busing violence. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A poll commissioned by several Oregon newspapers says the Oregon gubernatorial race at this point is too close to call. Pollster said neither Democrat Bob Straub nor Republican Victor Attia has an absolute majority, and that the outcome will depend upon the undecided voters. Two Marion County officials have been fined $1,500 each for permitting the burning of debris without a pollution permit over the weekend. An attorney for the county said the fines will be appealed. Douglas Eric Norton was arraigned on a murder charge today in Hood River. He's accused of shooting Gerald Bruce Duggan of Massachusetts last week. Norton was arrested in Wenatchee, Washington, 3 days after the shooting. 18-year-old Joseph A. Wilson pleaded innocent today to charges that he shot two Aloha High School students to death October 3rd. He was indicted on charges of killing two 18-year-olds, Peter Zitto and Donald Bartron, in a parking lot. Bail totals $100,000. 97 Sports World Heavyweight Champ George Foreman says he'll consider the title vacant the moment the bell rings tomorrow night in his bout with Muhammad Ali. Foreman says the title belongs to the man who can win it. In the National Football League, a game heard earlier this evening on KOIN, Pittsburgh upended Atlanta 24-17. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver. Showers ending tonight, partly cloudy tomorrow, then fair tomorrow night and Wednesday, but with some morning fog. Lows 40 to 45 degrees tonight, in the upper 30s tomorrow night. Highs between 55 and 60, and winds out of the northwest 10 to 20 miles an hour. Rain chance decreases to 10% tomorrow through tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 50 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. To the world of enchantment, spells, the witchery. These are all words from our childhood, pleasant memories of nursery stories before bedtime. The dark side of magic we knew nothing of. And when we grew old enough to learn, dismissed as ignorance and superstition. But once again in our times, incantation, exorcism, and the haunting belief in demonic possession are alive and abroad. They are what this strange tale is about.
I tell you, Doctor, it's the God's honest truth. They brought the young man in on the rolling stretcher to the emergency room, and he had this big sort of dent in his head. Oh, he didn't look like he was breathing at all. There was me, with me bucket and me pail, trying to clean up. Just me and the young man on the stretcher and the old wino repeater we called PJ they brought in earlier, snoring and dribbling. And that's when it happened. Came right out of old PJ's mouth and across the room and right off the young man's nose, like that. With a burny, cindery smell, like the old scissor grinder stone wheel used to make. Oh, a great black cloud with red eyes in the middle and a long forked tail. Oh, I take an oath on it on me mother's grave. It was the devil himself.
Our mystery drama, Possessed by the Devil, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Donald Buca. It is sponsored in part by Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you take a look at the new 1975 cars, it doesn't take long to notice the European influence is strong. And to be sure, there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans, one being Buick's new Skylark SR. But don't consider a Skylark SR because of its touring car interior or its rather rakish profile. Consider it because it's a Buick, possessing many of Buick's nicer innovations, like the new Buick V6, a peppery little engine that spits out a plentiful amount of torque while sipping a surprisingly small amount of gasoline. And if you wish, Skylark SR can abound with creature comforts seldom found on cars this size, with available items like Cruise Master Speed Control, AM/FM Stereo. But you've heard enough. Now you need to see and drive a Skylark SR. And try to remember, it's not a European touring car. It's a Buick.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Oh, dear. All of this furniture is so beautiful. Look at this beautiful leather chair and this gorgeous oak table. And the prices are so low, I don't know which one to buy first.
I'll help you, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Listen carefully. New federal regulations require that furniture be properly labeled, describing what it's made of, plastic, wood, veneer, and so forth. Be sure to read the labels on the furniture. They'll help you.
Oh, I see. Why, look, the label on this marble table says made of marble dust. No wonder it's cheaper. Oh, thank you for telling me.
Think nothing of it, little lady. Just passing along another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
From the beginnings of history, it is there in some form. Possession. The incubus who ravishes maidens while asleep. The succubus who tempts man into seduction in his dreams. The Dibuk, that lost soul who dies before his time and is compelled to wander in space till he can steal a body to live out his allotted years. Fact? Superstition? Hallucination? Here is such a modern legend. You be the judge.
Okay, Doctor, an IV set up for old Wally Wino here. Glucose, so start it right away.
Yes, Dr. Daniels.
Oh, he don't look like he's long for this world.
He hasn't got a cell. He hasn't drowned in alcohol. His liver's like a washboard. But I'm not sure I concur with your diagnosis, Mrs. Gideon. Still, I don't know this time. Oh, another emergency. And this is supposed to be the quiet hour.
Do you want me to get out for a while, Doctor? I'm near finished.
No, no, go ahead with your cleaning. Just don't get run over by the stretcher. Put him over here, boys. Now, what have you brought me this time?
Oh, you poor old souse. Dead to the world's the word for you, all right. You've got me sympathy. With my arthritis, many's the time I've been tempted to have a go at the hard stuff myself. Oh, but thanks to sweet Mary, she's held me back. A little sacramental wine to ease me bones keeps me going. I had a few tonight, I can tell you. Oh, but there's always them breath sweeteners to take it away, I hope.
Well, how's your patient, Mrs. Gideon?
Oh, Doctor, I hope he's not a Catholic. The father might never make it in time. How's yours?
Oh, mine's out of my league. What I need is a brain surgeon. Huh. Speak of the devil. Considine just walked past the door. Dr. Considine. Dr. Considine, sir, I've got an emergency here.
Mother of heaven. And me here alone with two near corpses. Oh, I didn't see it. I couldn't have. Oh, but I did. I seen it. Oh, the good saints preserve me.
Hey there, Mother. Well, where am I?
Oh, in the Mercy Hospital. Oh, you shouldn't be getting up.
Oh, ma'am, you're sure a different kind of nurse.
Oh, I'm no nurse. I'm the cleaning woman.
Oh.
And you hadn't oughtn't to be sitting up? Not with that clout on the head someone's after giving you.
Huh?
What?
Clout on the head?
Why, that great big dent as big as a soap plate they brought you in with.
Oh, what are you talking about?
You, I'm late for the operating room already.
Dr. Considine, he has a depressed skull fracture. I don't even know if he's still alive. Good Lord, what are you doing on your feet? Dr. Considine, will you help me get him back on the
show? Hey, hold up. Wait a minute. Look, there's nothing wrong with me.
Mister, an ambulance just brought you in here with a skull fracture. You were out cold in deep shock.
But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing the matter with my head. Look.
Holy Mother.
Excuse me, Mr.
Mike. Michael Damon.
Oh, well, I'm Dr. Considine, Chief of Neurological Surgery here at the hospital. Would you mind sitting down on this chair for a second and letting me check you out?
Sure, Doc. Look, I've got to admit, I don't remember how I got here to the hospital, so maybe you ought to have a look at me.
Mrs. Gideon, what's the matter with you? You look like you just saw a ghost.
It wasn't no ghost, sir.
Dr. Daniels, get over here.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind casting your eagle eye over the back of this young man's head and show me one scintilla of evidence of skull fracture or concussion?
Doctor, all I know is Jake Bronstein brought him in on the wagon and he had a decompressed area you could have laid your hand in.
That's right, sir. I saw it myself.
Someone here has been drinking. Daniels, look. If this is your idea of a joke, I...
Never
mind. We'll discuss this later. Mr. Damon?
Yes, Doctor?
For your own protection as well as the hospital's, may I suggest that we take some x-rays of your head? Oh, nurse?
Yes?
You can let Dr. Daniels take over on the IV with the old man. And we'll, Mr. Damon, straight to x-ray. I want a full set of head plate.
Yes, Doctor.
Now, Mr. Damon, there are a couple of questions I'd like to ask you.
Excuse me, sir. Dad?
Mike? Are you all right, son?
Oh, I feel fine, Dad, except for a headache.
Oh, Dr. Considine, this is my father, Reverend Damon.
Oh, how do you do? Nurse, can we get going?
Dad, what happened? How did I get here?
Well, perhaps you can explain, Reverend, as we walk along. I want to get to x-ray.
Well, I wish someone could explain to me what happened.
I can, sir.
Let me check the IV on old PJ. Wait a minute.
What is it, Doctor?
PJ here. He's bought it this time.
Oh,
this is not my night. We might have pulled him through. Oh, there's going to be the devil to pay around here.
Oh, you can say that again. It's the God's truth, Dr. Considine. Came right out of the old man's mouth and across the room and up the young man's nose like that. With a burning, cindery smell like the old scissor grinder's wheel used to make. A great black cloud with red eyes in the middle and a long forked tail. Oh, I take an oath on me mother's grave. 'Twas the devil himself.
Yes, Mrs. Gideon, I think you can leave the medical discussion to us, and I'm sure you have important work waiting.
Oh, bless us. I left me pail and mop there. I hope nobody's been after stealing that mop. It had a brand new head on it.
Well, at least I know now where the smell of alcohol came from. I can't blame you for that, Daniels.
Mm.
But I just can't accept it. In an emergency room, you concentrate on a seemingly healthy patient while you lose a really sick old man.
PJ was a repeater, Doc. He's long overdue for uremic poisoning or cardiac arrest. But this young guy, Damon...
Well, complete your sentence.
Yeah. I was just thinking... That magnificent body, physically way above par, and the injury I thought I saw, well, would have left him a vegetable for the rest of a long life if we'd pulled him through.
What injury?
That depressed...
Most of the brain should have been injured beyond repair.
You say what you thought you saw. Apparently you didn't see anything.
You heard Mrs. Gideon back me up, Doctor.
Come in.
Oh, it's the wet plates, Doctor, from X-ray.
Light up the viewing fields, Daniels, and let's have a good look. Yeah, satisfied?
Well, sir...
Oh, somebody gave him a knock on the head, all right. There's some exterior evidence of that, but of any fracture?
None I can see.
Well, you're the doctor of record. Shall we send him home?
I see no reason not to.
Okay. Now I'd better get up to O.R. Coming! Coming! Trudy!
Well, don't look so disappointed, Rod.
Come in. Come in. Say, sweetheart, what are you doing here at this hour?
Oh, I couldn't sleep after your call, so I drove over. Is Mike back from the hospital?
No, I thought the bell was Dad and Mike. They're on the way home right now.
How come you didn't go to the hospital?
Well, we've been trying to get in touch with Anton Azarac.
Oh?
So Dad thought one of us should be here in case he called back.
Oh.
I mean, to find out what happened. Yeah. All right, Janda. Cool it.
Oh, what a name for a cat.
Why, I see nothing wrong with it. I think a martyr belongs in a minister's family.
Oh, is that my fate as your wife to be?
Of course not. We just called her that because Mike and she never seem to get along.
Well, that's hard to figure about the cat. Mike is such a kind, gentle sort of a giant. I thought all animals loved him.
Well, it depends what the word includes. Oh, wait a minute. There's a car now. The return of the prodigal son. Now maybe we'll find out just what happened last night.
And that's honestly all I can tell any of you.
You were making a fresh fire in the fireplace at 5:30 in the morning and straightened up too fast and knocked yourself cold on the underside of the mantelpiece?
Well, what other explanation is there, Rod?
Well, it is solid oak. And that big, round, ornamental sphere is a menace. I've regretted it every time I've bumped my own head on it.
Yeah, but, Dad, you never hit your head hard enough to knock yourself cold.
Mike, why were you making a fire at that time in the morning?
Well, I wasn't actually making one. I was replacing one. Professor Azarek was with me last night, coaching me for an exam I have coming up, and, well, he got cold.
Oh, come on, it wasn't cold enough for a fire last night.
Well, maybe when you went to bed, but we were up all night. And the professor's a pretty old man.
What were you doing up at that hour in the morning, Dad?
I really don't know. Something woke me, and I...
Are you all right, Reverend Jase?
Excuse me, Trudy, dear. Yes, yes, I'm fine. I'm just recalling that moment this morning. How vivid it was. I was startled out of the depths of my sleep to wide awakeness. I had a vision of Mike surrounded by flames. It was so real, I even said a little prayer. Then I hopped out of bed, went to the window. It wasn't very dark anymore. And looking across, I could see that all the studio lights were on and the front door open. Well, I thought I'd better go and have a look.
And when you got there, you found Mike on the floor, unconscious?
Yes. Lying on his face, white as a sheet, and deathly cold.
Oh.
Yeah, but what made you call the hospital? It's not like you to panic.
Well, I realized that, but the back of his head looked as though he'd been felled by some superhuman male fist. It was all bent inward.
I thought the hospital said Mike was all right.
Oh, I am, Trudy. A clean bill of health. Nothing to worry about.
My fault. Must have been an illusion, of course.
Well, I think if the Inquisition is over, I'm going to make up on some sleep. Hmm? Oh, that damn cat! I'd forgotten about her. Will you keep her in there away from me?
What's the matter with her?
Been a very strange night and morning, and I have a hauntingly uneasy feeling.
You mean about Mike?
About Mike. I hope the hospital was right to give him a clean bill of health. He doesn't seem himself at all. Not at all.
Hello. Hello. Azarek? Michael.
what the hell happened last night. Okay, not on the phone. I'm going to rest now. But you be sure to be here tonight.
So far in our modern legend, we have caught up with superstition, witches, magic, both black and white, enchantment, spells, abracadabra. Well, there are two more acts to come. I'll be back very shortly with Act Two.
St. Louis.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today. Who will live to inherit all we've done? Who will pay? Who will give love and share it? The children of today.
Information, write Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York.
A young man rushed to the hospital with a depressed fracture of the skull, which should have mangled his brain. A chronic drunken repeater back in emergency on the edge of fatal acute alcoholism. And an aging cleaning woman who thought she saw a malign spirit pass from the drunk to the young man. Now, apparently in full health, we'll be able to appraise just how healthy the young man who made his remarkable recovery is.
Be right there.
Professor Azarick, please come in.
Must you be so formal?
After last night and today, I'm taking no chances. Maybe with your superior intelligence, you have no worries about our abortive attempt at Satanism. But I have. Look, I was the victim, and since a crack on the head denied me any knowledge of what happened, I'm only hoping you can give me the straight goods.
The straight goods. A peculiarly inept term for what we are engaged in, my brother in Satan.
Damn it, it's not a deal in semantics, Anton. Now, what happened after I summoned up the fiend? I mean, how did you escape, and how could I have been harmed? As long as I was safe in the magic triangle within the circle.
I warned you to keep your feet still. If you touch any part of the circle itself or the triangle within it, you are at the mercy of all the devils in hell.
And if I'd known what I was getting into when I picked your philosophy course, I'd have quit.
You made the mistake of not realizing how vulnerable your soul was as the son of a minister.
All right. I'm not crying over what happened. I just want to know what it was. Now, where was I?
By the fireplace, lying prostrate. The way you fell after he hit you.
Who hit me?
The devil you summoned.
But where did he appear?
Outside the circle here.
The inner or the outer?
Beyond the outer, of course. There was water scattered between the circles, and wolf's bane scattered through it.
that within the circle you had the brazier burning.
Everything as you ordered it and arranged it.
Yes, but...
But? What went wrong?
Your ego.
My ego? What does that mean?
You lost your head. Or at least almost did. This was a simple experiment by someone who seemed a true psychic to raise a minor antichrist. The motive was strong enough to create belief. Or at least the hope of belief. You wanted a familiar to procure your brother's woman for you. Beshal, you were to call forth. Why did you call on Ashtaroth, a giantess beyond your control?
I don't know. But do I have to explain?
No. Ever since you became my disciple, you told me that you have lusted after the woman your brother brought home as his bride.
The only thing I've never been able to take from Rod whenever I wanted him.
When you finished the incantation and summoned Ashtaroth, I thought the house would come down about our ears. The earth rocked like the San Francisco quake. And suddenly she stood without the circle, a huge figure in chainmail and medieval armor. Meddler and slave, she said. How dare you summon me for your petty desires? Learn this lesson once, if not for all. Turn your face from me in shame. And as you turned, she reached out with her mailed glove and struck you on the top and back of your head. You dropped like a stone.
Across the magic circles?
They weren't designed for major devils.
You swore no presence could cross them.
Nothing but her arm and her fist.
But it's 5 feet from that outer circle to the center of the triangle where I was standing.
I told you the circle was for lesser demons.
What happened after she struck me?
The spirit disappeared. The room was clogged with smoke. I opened the door to let it out and came back to you. You had fallen almost into the fireplace. I pulled the rug back, arranged the furniture as best I could, and fled. I thought you were dead.
Oh, I'm alive.
Yes, but it's not possible. When I left you just before sunrise, you were dead.
What witchcraft can do, it can undo. Whoever and whatever I am, I'm alive. Make no mistake about that. Goodbye, Anton. I don't need you anymore.
Oh, hi, Trudy. I thought you'd gone with Rod and Dad.
Hello, Mike. I thought you were over in the studio.
We ran out of beer.
Ah, you're out of luck. Rod's bringing some home.
Well, I found something more refreshing.
What?
You.
Oh, if you'd waited just a little longer, you'd have found me anyway. I was going to wander over to the studio and visit you.
Oh, so that's why you stayed home.
Oh, don't be silly. Someone had to wash the dishes. As long as I'm house guest, I thought I ought to do something for my keep.
Well, you're staying here tonight?
One whole week. Mom went up with Pops to his 35th class reunion. And they figured that with one full-fledged minister and a recent hospital dropout, I was suitably chaperoned.
Safe as a church, huh? Rod and Dad say when they'd be back.
Well, not till pretty late, I guess. Pretty rough section of town. That's why Rod insisted on going alone.
What's the occasion?
That's one of your father's oldest parishioners. I guess the old lady is dying. She asked for the minister.
Well, her loss, my gain.
What?
Oh, nothing. It's just a stupid joke. You said you wanted to see the studio?
Oh, yes. Would you mind?
Mind? Look, I'm out of beer, but I've got some champagne that's begging to be what it is.
What is it?
A split. Just right for sharing. Shall we go? Well, won't you walk into my parlor, said Beelzebub to the flies.
Oh, no, what's that supposed to mean?
That is the advantage of a classical education.
Uh-huh.
Beelzebub, god of the Philistine city of Ekron. You know, he was known as the Lord of the Flies.
Why?
Well, now, there you've got me.
Uh-oh, he sounds horrid.
Well, he wasn't very popular with Christians.
In fact, they called him the Prince of Devils.
Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it gives me the creeps.
Here's something to chase your creeps away.
Oh, I don't want that, Mike. It goes right to my head.
Oh, just a sip. Hmm? A good luck toast to sister and brother-in-law-hood. Our getting-to-know-you party.
Well, far be it from me to be a party pooper. There's nothing more cozy and reassuring than a room full of books. What's this section here?
Oh, that? That's the main reason I needed Dad's particular library, since my exam was in metaphysics.
The Black Arts, The World of Witches, Essentials of Demonology, Satanic Mass. Oh, it's a strange collection for a minister.
And it's always good to know your enemy. Now, Dad's quite an authority on the devil and his work.
And you? Are you thinking of becoming a minister, Mike?
Me? No. Perish the thought. No, my philosophy is too easy for that. I long ago decided that if you can't fight him, join him. I mean, can't you see how evil I am? Tempting you with spirituous beverages, coaxing you here to my lair, and now having anesthetized my prey, making ready to spring.
I don't think you're being very funny, Mike. Oh, is this where you hit your head?
Hmm? Oh, yes, so they say. No, I wasn't being altogether funny.
What do you mean?
Trudy, have you any idea how jealous I am of my older brother?
Of Rod? Why?
A month ago, or whenever it was, that he turned up with you, my first thought was, why couldn't I find something like that?
That's very flattering, Mike. But you're a little young for the big step.
Not so young as you think. Perhaps. I don't care what you and Rod have been to each other. It was me you wanted. Still want. Only you're afraid of breaking your word.
This is a joke.
It's no joke.
Mike, let go of me.
You wanted me from the moment you laid eyes on me, just as I have you.
Oh, you've been reading too many naughty books.
Don't laugh. There's nothing funny about this.
No, not really. Offensive.
You're afraid of me.
Don't be silly.
You're afraid of yourself.
Now that really is the last
test it. Test it. Fasten your mouth to mine. Wind yourself about me. Try forbidden love, and it will never let you go.
No, Mike, let me go. You're hurting me. Oh, that's Rod home with your father. If you will let me go, I'll scream.
What are you going to tell them?
Nothing. Nothing. I wouldn't want them to know what a pig you are. I think that blow on the head must have done more damage than you think. Mike, you better see a psychiatrist. Hi, Rod. Dad. Well, we didn't expect you.
Esther, by Lucifer, I'll have you yet. Cowering at my feet like a slave. To use you once and destroy you. As I shall use your surrogate tonight. Whoever she may be.
Oh, dear, how bestial.
What, Reverend Damon?
Just something that happened to a girl on the other side of town.
Let me see. Rachel. Awful.
Well, now you got me going.
No.
You too, Jean? Well, since you can't read, I'll read it to you. The body of Elizabeth Migler, 21, was discovered in Marsden Park today by a passerby. Although it was later determined the girl had been raped, the strange features of the case are that she was not robbed, and as though by some ferocious animal, tooth marks showed that her throat had been literally ripped to pieces. Good Lord.
Where is Marsden Park?
Clear over the other side of town.
When did it happen?
Night before last. Morning, all. I hope breakfast is all ready. I'm famished. What's wrong with that cat? Oh, it's beginning to bug me.
A lot of things are beginning to bug me.
What'd you say, honey?
Nothing, Rod. I don't think I'll have any breakfast this morning. I don't feel like eating. No, Rod, please, don't come with me. I'd rather be alone.
Lovers quarrel? Look, will you just take out, brother mine? It's none of your business.
For Trudy's sake, for everyone's sake, Would that it were. But unfortunately, we know better. Or do we? The crime happened miles away. And the devil that may possess Mike is there only on the evidence of a tipsy charwoman. Who summons the devil never calls for him in vain. And once met, few are lucky to get rid of him again. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type Pills.
Here's your cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
So surprised, you'd stare up at the heavens with those big blue eyes, and the wind would carry all of your light up to the skies, and the sun would start shining again.
And the sun would start shining.
You can help make the sun start shining again through the United Nations Children's Fund. This is Bill Anderson, asking you to be generous when the neighborhood youngsters come to your door to trick or treat for UNICEF this Halloween. Please drop a few coins in their little orange boxes and help UNICEF bring better food, medical care, and education to millions of needy children.
In the kitchen of the Damon house, Rod glares angrily at his brother, who shrugs it off and goes to the refrigerator for orange juice. A troubled Reverend Damon eyes both his sons as he closes and folds the tabloid in his hands as if it were just as unclean as it is. Rod, unchallenged by Mike, breaks the silence first.
I'd better go on upstairs and check on Trudy.
Well, she said she wanted to be alone.
Look, will you stay out of this?
I'm not even in it. Just an objective comment.
So keep it to yourself.
Now, come on, Rod. I didn't mean to butt in. Catch me up. What's all the hostility about?
No hostility. Just a reaction to a peculiarly unpleasant crime. I think I'll go up and apologize to Trudy for spoiling everyone's breakfast.
That's a good idea, Dad.
If I can leave you two alone.
I have no quarrel with anyone.
Now, forget it, Dad. I just got upset over Trudy. I shouldn't have jumped on Mike.
Well, then, let me see if I can make a future in-law a little happier in our house.
What happened, Rod? Oh, it all started over this tabloid story about some poor kid who got raped and mangled in Marsden Park.
Oh?
Here, read all about it.
Kind of gruesome, all right. But there's one of these every day.
Yeah, but not in such gory detail. It really got to Trudy. Now, I've never seen her upset like that. I mean, so subjectively involved.
Oh? What do you suppose triggered that?
Oh, I don't know. I just sure wish I did.
Maybe it's better to let sleeping dogs lie.
Who is it?
Your future father-in-law. May I come in for a minute?
Just a sec. The door's locked. Come on in, Reverend Damon.
Feeling any better?
Oh, not really.
Oh, I should be ashamed of myself. reading that yellow sheet. I like to think it helps keep my sense of balance, but maybe I'm just a seeker of vicarious excitement.
Like that rather complete collection on Satanism and the occult that you have in your studio?
Ah, you noticed that, did you?
Night before last, when I was over there with Mike while you and Rod had gone to see your old parishioner who was dying. Did she?
As a matter of fact, no. She made a remarkable recovery.
Oh, really? Well, you looked so sort of worried when you came home. I thought she...
I was worried about you, Trudy, and Mike.
Why?
You, because I knew you were upset about something. Well, you can't be a minister for over 40 years without learning to read something about people.
And Mike?
Mike is an enigma to me since I brought him back from the hospital. A rather terrifying thought to realize I've lost contact with my own son. I'd like to ask your help, Trudy, and I'll lay it right on the line. Why were you at the studio with him? And what happened there?
You won't tell Rod?
Not if you don't want me to.
Then what I'd like more than anything is to tell someone, most of all you, for Mike's sake. Because I think he needs help. And you're the only one who could bring it to him. Or make him go find it.
Reverend Damon, this is a pleasure. I'm on my way to a class. Can we talk as we cross campus?
Yes. Just, what is the name of your course that Mike is taking?
Philosophy. Perhaps more specifically, metaphysics. Rather freewheeling. I mean, it's advanced and we spend more time on the perimeters than we do on the core subjects.
Just what were you and Mike up to that long night before his injury?
I was coaching him for an examination.
An examination in what? On what subject?
By the class I teach, general philosophy.
And you left before Michael was hurt?
Oh, good Lord, yes. Would I have left the boy if he were injured?
Would you have fled the scene unless you were up to something dark and vile enough to stain your reputation?
I am sorry your boy was hurt. I had no part in it. I resent your holier-than-thou accusations. If you'll excuse me, I have a class waiting for me.
Now for the rug. There. Does it? Oh, my dear Lord. Just what I was afraid of.
What are you afraid of, Dad?
You, Mike, that you'd turned away from God to seek the devil.
Why, Mike? Why? Who knows? Now, what shall I tell you? That life's a drag. It has no purpose, no goals, no triumphs that aren't tarnished. That there's no good in man. Nothing but pettiness and meanness and me first and the devil take the hindmost.
That's not what I brought you up to believe.
No one blames you, Dad. That Trudy was the last straw. That Rod could find the woman he wanted, and she could turn out to be the one that I need. So I chose his worship. And here we built my altar.
Don't desecrate that name. The altar belongs to God.
This altar belongs to Satan. See the circle traced in vermilion paint? Exactly 9 feet wide, an 8-foot charcoal one within. Light the votive candles, burn the incense, let the mass begin.
Mike, what are you doing? I won't tolerate this sacrilege.
You can no more move than the woman I desire can resist my power. I am the way. I am the darkness. I am the truth. Lord of the universe whom the winds fear. I am he whose mouth ever flameth. You answer me. The I in hope. The bornless one that did create the darkness and the light. Thee I command to serve me and send me the woman I desire.
Come in here.
But the rain.
going on here?
Fraud, it's your brother. He's gone mad. Spawn of the outer world. Stay back. Stay back. Or I will smite thee dead where thou standest. Leave, or leave, except the woman who is mine.
Dad, what's going on?
Look out. He's going for Trudy.
Now, look, Dad.
Oh, he has a knife.
Would you murder your own brother?
Okay, Dad, now pull it around.
You know, I could always take you.
Oh, Rod, I hope you haven't hurt him too much.
Oh, don't worry, baby. He always had a glass jaw.
He had something more perishable than that. Call the hospital. And better tell them to bring a straitjacket.
The top of the night to you, Mrs. Gideon. And what's that wee bottle in the paper bag? A little poteen?
Nothing of the sort, Dr. Smartattic. It's a noggin of holy water blessed by me own Monsignor, which I carry with me when I come near this place ever since 3 days ago. What happened to old P.J.? Did anyone ever turn up to claim him?
No. Oh, by the way, while we're on the gossip column, guess who's back in the hospital?
Oh, not the other one.
Mm-hmm, the same. Lying in the emergency room under a deep sedation in a straitjacket.
Oh, what did they bring him back here for?
That's what Dr. Considine and his father, the Reverend Damon, are discussing now in the prep room. Well, if you're going to swap out the emergency, you'd better get at it fast.
Well, I'll tell you something, Doctor. Mm-hmm. If I'm to be there and alone with that devil, you'll never see emergency this clean again. For I'm adding the Monsignor's holy water to me pail right now, just in case.
Of course, we'll run every neurological test in the book on him under the circumstances, Reverend Damon.
I'm not sure it will do any good. I'm afraid the trouble is psychiatric.
Well, it has to be one or the other, unless we're to accept Mrs. Gideon's diagnosis of possession.
Mrs. Gideon? Oh, I remember now. She was one of the people, like the intern, who remembered that they thought they saw a considerable skull compression.
Which never existed, believe me. Just an illusion, like Mrs. Gideon's.
What was Mrs. Gideon's illusion?
Well, I'm afraid she'd had a drink or two, and she had some wild story about a black devil streaming out of an old dipsomaniac who was also in the emergency room, and being sucked up through your son's nostrils. I'm really even embarrassed to mention such nonsense. Come in.
Excuse me, Dr. Considine, but the patient is coming too.
Mr. Damon?
Yes, sir. He's still in the straitjacket.
I think, Reverend, if you don't mind until we see what state he's in.
I don't mind. You might as well both know that the police are by now well aware that My son was responsible for the violent death of a young woman the night before last while under the possession of whatever devils or devil owns him. Shall we go?
By Nergal and Thomas and Belphegor, no one can hem me in. I am Belial, Lord of the Flies, and your bonds cannot hold.
Good Lord, he's out of the straitjacket. I'll get help.
What's going on here, Mrs. Gideon?
But the Lord preserve us. It's the devil incarnate. Oh, stay away from him, Doctor. He'll burn you to a crisp with his fiery breath.
All of you, stay away from him. Leave him to me. Michael, my son.
Call me not by that filthy angel's name. Stay away, old man, for I carry death in my hand as a sword.
Michael!
I warned you.
Oh, you administer man of the cloth. Get back. Get back.
What happened?
Oh, sure, it was the Monsignor's holy water. It is as strong as life.
Michael, no.
All right, boys.
All right, Daniels, you're too late.
What?
Excuse me, Reverend. Let me see. Daniels, come here.
Hey, yes, sir.
Was that the depression you were talking about when this man was first brought in?
Yes, sir. That's what I thought I saw.
Well, at least it's what we all see now.
But how?
I haven't any answers. I only know... I'm sorry, Reverend Damon, but your son is...
is dead. He hasn't been my son since his first visit here. The mercy of God is that whatever possessed him died with him, thanks to this lady here.
Oh, if I hadn't had the holy water, the Lord does move in mysterious ways. Don't he, Reverend Sir?
In mysterious ways and kind ones. What a field day the Reverend Damon's tabloids might have had if Michael had ever come to trial for the death of that poor innocent girl. Innocent. Perhaps that's the theme of this dark history. If Michael had been less innocent, and had had the guts to be less self-interested and bored, how different his world might have been. But that's the answer, isn't it? We all make our own world. We can't rely on anyone else to make it for us. I'll be back shortly.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
I suppose I should resist the impulse, but I have to admit I can't. It's one of the rewards for being host, particularly with guests who can't answer back, at least directly. So just for once, a homily. Reach out and find life. Take it and make the most of it. For if nothing else, our story proves to the hilt the oldest of adages. If you don't, the devil finds work for idle hands to do. Our cast included Donald Bucher, Joan Shea, Ian Martin, Guy Sorrell, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
No trouble, though. He went numb pretty fast.
I thought he would.
He wanted me to give you a message, but then he couldn't remember what it was. And he thinks you're some kind of a warden.
Poor man.
You know, Mr. Z, I didn't much like it inside that room.
You knew you were coming out.
Who ever dreamed up the black room anyway?
I've no idea.
Somebody must have.
There's always been a black room, far as I know.
Hell of a place.
Yes.
How long will he last, do you think?
Matter of days. Weeks, possibly.
Then what?
He'll go mad. Or die.
Wonder what he's doing now.
Oh, counting by twos. Then by threes, then by fours. Anything to keep from thinking. That's what they all do.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. The time is 12 midnight.
CBS News. Former President Nixon will be operated on in about 5.5 hours
to prevent the possibility of a large blood clot in his leg from reaching his lung. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The announcement of Mr. Nixon's surgery came after doctors took a venogram of Mr. Nixon's left leg. They found a new large blood clot. Norm Nager, who is a spokesman for Long Beach Memorial Hospital, explains.
Former President Nixon's personal physician, cardiologist John C. Lundgren, M.D., consulted with the surgical consultants Dr. Eldon B. Hickman and Dr. Wiley F. Barker following the venogram and concurred that the new clot threatens to become a pulmonary embolus and thus endangers Mr. Nixon's life. Based on this concern, the doctors agreed that urgent surgery should be scheduled at 5:30 a.m. Tuesday morning. Mr. Nixon agreed to take the advice for surgery.
Scheduled time for that surgery again, 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. The operation is expected to last about an hour. Mr. Nixon spoke on the telephone last night with his wife, Pat, and daughters, Tricia Cox and Julie Nixon Eisenhower. Julie later told reporters that the doctors wanted to operate right away, but that her father was too weak and too tired to undergo surgery last night. More CBS News coming up.
Time Magazine, what's in it for you this week? Cover story, a look at Iran and His Imperial Majesty Mohammad Reza Pahlavi.
Light of the Aryans.
King of Kings.
Imperial security blanket for an empire of paradoxes.
The Shah of Iran.
Respected, resolute, and visionary monarch sitting firmly on one-tenth of the Earth's proven oil reserve.
Determined to transform his country into a superpower.
Equally determined that every school child should have a free glass of milk every day.
Time study includes an exclusive interview with the Shah on subjects ranging from Middle East oil prices to Western work ethics.
And a glimpse into the life of Farah, the working empress.
Also in Time this week, a special report on breast cancer that answers the questions and offers directions for self-examination.
In politics, as we come down the stretch toward Election Day, Time reviews the key contests across the nation.
And in behavior, the hidden side of inflation.
It's liberating the suburbs, says one sociologist. Keeping up with the Joneses is gone.
It's all there in Time.
Pick up a copy.
For Time makes everything more interesting.
Including you.
State and city police are expected to be on hand today in Boston when classes resume after Veterans Day weekend. Court-ordered busing to achieve integration in some of the city schools is now in its seventh week. Yesterday, several thousand people in South Boston demonstrated against busing. And there was another protest march, this one in Charleston, West Virginia. Bernard Goldberg tells us about it.
This time, the anti-textbook people marched through Charleston, protesting what they consider anti-American and anti-Christian textbooks. They marched to the state capitol and heard from several ministers, including protest leader, the Reverend Marvin Horan.
If you don't stay out of school, your march was in vain. We must close the school. As for me and my house, I don't go back to work. Neither can our children go to school until these books are taken out. The people that kept our nation, the greatest nation under heaven, is the same people that come together again today. Together we stand, and together we'll preserve this great nation that we are all of.
Authorities estimated the crowd at 3,500. They plan another protest march on Saturday. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News, Charleston, West Virginia.
The latest on the Arab Summit Conference after this.
Which would you rather forego? The low prices only a chain store can offer, or the friendly service of an independent dealer? Why settle for one or the other? Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that you get the benefits of both at True Value Hardware Stores. You see, True Value Hardware Stores are independently owned by a local man, usually a neighbor of yours. He's the kind of friendly guy you get to know by his first name, the kind of handy guy you look to for do-it-yourself advice. And he has his own money invested in the business. So believe me, you'll never write the chairman of some board to get satisfaction. At the same time, each independent True Value dealer is a part of a chain of over 4,700 hardware stores whose combined buying power amounts to $1 billion. So True Value Hardware Stores buy their merchandise for less, can sell it to you for less. Chain store prices, independent dealer service. Get the best of both worlds at True Value Hardware Stores.
A closing session is scheduled today at the Arab Summit Conference in Rabat, Morocco. Sources at the summit say that Jordan's King Hussein has agreed to recognize the Palestine Liberation Organization as the representative of the Palestinians. The sources also say Hussein has agreed to accept the principle of Palestinian rule on the west bank of the Jordan River when and if Israeli occupation ends. Sources say in exchange, the PLO has agreed to attend any new Mideast peace talks in Geneva as part of a Jordanian delegation and not as a separate group. Secretary of State Kissinger is scheduled to meet with the Indian Agriculture Minister today in New Delhi. They're expected to discuss resumption of U.S. food shipments to India. India is believed to want somewhere between 2 and 5 million metric tons of food grain this year. The U.S. is reported considering a figure of less than 1 million metric tons. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A walkout by more than 200 nurses at Sacred Heart General Hospital in Eugene was averted late Monday night when an agreement between the nurses and hospital was reached. The nurses had threatened to walk out of the hospital at 7 o'clock this morning if an agreement could not be reached. In a joint announcement late Monday night, Oregon Nurses Association Bargaining Committee Chairman Sandy Rotola and Hospital Administrator Monica Heron expressed pleasure over the settlement. At issue was the nurses' petition for an increase in their $770 monthly pay, increased rates for overtime and night duty assignments, plus added retirement and insurance benefits. The agreement is subject to ratification by nurses and hospital board of governors. Details are to be announced following ratification. The State Water Resources Board has reversed a 14-year-old policy and declared that no dam should be built on the Middle Snake River between Oregon and Idaho. By a 4-2 vote, the board said the 71-mile stretch of the river should remain free-flowing through Hell's Canyon, the deepest gorge in North America. The new policy represents a major roadblock for a group of Northwest power companies who want to build dams at High Mountain, Sheep, and Pleasant Valley. The group obtained the state permit in 1960 and has an application pending before the Federal Power Commission. Another looming roadblock is a Senate-passed bill that would declare the Hell's Canyon a national recreation area and prohibit any development. The House is now considering a similar measure.